Welcome to the First Baptist Church Podcast, a ministry of First Baptist Church in Cumming, Georgia. To find out more about FBC Cumming, please visit us online at fbccumming.org.
Well, good morning, First Baptist. Welcome to 2025. I hope everybody is doing well today. I hope you had a great New Year's. I hope you had a great Christmas. I want to say a special thank you to our students who are dominating the front couple of rows. Anybody that's ever been in ministry knows the front couple of rows, when they're filled, you have a special place in our hearts, all right? So we really appreciate you leading us in that way, yeah. So to start 2025, our sermon series is what we're calling CORE. These are eight values of healthy disciples, CORE values. These are the kinds of things you see in Scripture. Of course, you know, there's a lot of things that the Bible says we need to believe, that we need to do if we're a follower of Jesus. There's over 1,000 commands in the New Testament alone that tell us what to do, what to believe. So there's a lot of things that we need to do when we think about being a disciple. But as you survey the New Testament and the churches in the New Testament, you notice that there are patterns. There are certain things that are emphasized across the book of Acts, across the Gospels, across the letters to the churches. And these are the core practices. These are the things we're going to be talking about. These are the things that if you're a follower of Jesus and you're not engaged in these core practices, then something's off in your life. And so we want to help you get back on track here to start the year. Or maybe you're already engaged in all of these things, but maybe in this series, God is gonna use this time to refresh your commitment to it, or just to encourage you in the good direction that you're already moving. These core practices or values are found throughout the Scriptures, but listen, they're also found throughout our church as well. About 5-6 months ago, when I started, one of the major priorities that I've been committed to since I've been here is just learning more about First Baptist. What makes First Baptist First Baptist? So I've had about 15,000 to 20,000 meetings over the past few months, just listening to the stories, to the history, to the ups, to the downs, to all of the different things that have happened in our history. And while a lot of things have changed over the years and things will change in the days ahead, there are certain things that cannot change. There are certain things that we have to make sure we are clear about, that we are committed to, if First Baptist is going to be what First Baptist has always been about and always wants to be about. These are those core things. I heard a lot of different things in those conversations, but I also heard patterns, just like I read patterns in the New Testament. These are the core values of a healthy discipleship. I hope that if you're a part of the First Baptist family, that you'll be encouraged in these things in the following 8 weeks. If you're not a part of the First Baptist family, this is your first Sunday maybe for many of you. Listen, we're so glad you're here. This will be a great time to hop in and learn about what it is that makes First Baptist First Baptist. We'd love to help you get connected and help you grow in your relationship with the Lord. And today, we're going to kick off this series by talking about one of the core values that is absolutely true, that it marks First Baptist and is all throughout the Scripture. We're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about one of the things that I love to talk about to start a new year, one of the things that the Bible loves emphasizing, one of the things that I discovered in my conversation is, man, we are a praying church. We have prayer teams. Praise God for prayer teams. We have people that actually sign up, you can be a part of this, to pray during both services. For the services, for what's happening in here. We have people that pray all throughout the week. We have people that are just praying all over the place. Hey, have your house sold? We're praying for that. Hey, I heard about this health thing. We're praying for that. Hey, like all of these things, we are a praying church. It's just a part of the air that we breathe. And listen, it's the part, it's not surprising to me, because it's a part of what the Bible says should mark a New Testament church. You see it all throughout the New Testament. You see it all throughout the Scriptures that God's people are a praying people, not because they're awesome, but because God is. But because they understand that God can do more in a moment than we could ever do in a lifetime. That an undeserving person simply voices verbally or in their mind a request to God, and that God sometimes answers those requests. That sometimes God intervenes in our lives, whether at home, at work, at school, wherever it is, that God loves to answer the specific prayers of his people. You see it over and over in Scripture, and the reason why it's recorded in Scripture is to help people who don't pray start praying, to help people believe that God really does work in the midst of all of the ups and the downs on life. God loves to use our prayer lives to give us a greater sense of his presence, which is what we need more than anything else, to give us a greater experience of his power, so that we see him working in our problems and our plans. He uses it also to change our perspective so that we start to look at our lives like he looks at our lives. We start to look at our problems like he looks at our problems. We start to have a divine perspective so that we're not shaken by the things that typically shake us but don't shake God. So that we're focused on the things that he wants us to be focused on, and it's best for us to be focused on, and not on what everybody else is, so that we can make the most of our lives, so that we can say what generation after generation after generation of Christian has been able to say, which is not only did God answer prayers and work miraculously in the Scriptures, he answered prayers and worked miraculously in my life. Can you say that? Do you have specific answers to prayer in your life? I'm praying that this would be the year that you do have those. If you don't have those, we love helping people pray. Just like Charles Spurgeon, who said in the late 1800s, "I'd rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach." Now, this was surprising at the time because Charles Spurgeon was known as the Prince of Preachers. If you ever read his sermons, it would ruin you listening to me because you'd be like, man, if that's preaching, I don't know what Jed's doing. He was gifted beyond measure. And yet, he says, listen, if I have a choice between teaching 10 men to preach or one man to pray, I'm going with prayer. Not everybody can preach. Not everybody's gifted to preach. We can all communicate the word, but he was talking about the gift and the God gifts to certain people to communicate God's word. We're all gifted in different ways. But listen, every one of us can be a great prayer. Spurgeon says he'd rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach because he understood that what I'm doing right now is nothing apart from the power of God. It's nothing apart from the intervention of God, because God can do more than we could ever dream of doing in a moment, in our schools, in our homes, in our hearts, in our finances, in our health, than we could ever do in a lifetime. We're starting to talk about prayer, but listen, I'm not just going to talk about prayer this morning. We're going to actually have an opportunity to pray in church. Can you believe it? I want to give us a quick refresh of what we talked about this past August when we were talking about the Lord's Prayer and how to pray to help position us so that we actually can pray. Okay, so let me go through the four statements that I think the Lord's Prayer shows us that can help us have the prayer life that Jesus wants us to have. There's four statements. The first one is that in order to have the prayer life Jesus wants us to have, we need to believe. We need to believe God can do anything. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, when Jesus is teaching his disciples about prayer, he says, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." I want you to notice that Jesus starts his teaching on prayer by pointing his listeners' attention to the identity of God. He says that this is a God who is a father. This is a God who is in heaven. He points our attention to God. He tries to get us thinking about God. He doesn't say, let me tell you about prayer. He says, no, no, no. Let me tell you about God. Why? Because your view of God determines your practice of prayer. And your practice of prayer reveals at a heart level your view of God. Yes, you can sing all true things about God. You can think all true things about God. But the Bible says that there's a disconnect between our heads and our heart. Doesn't have to be that way, but oftentimes it is. And our prayer life, probably more than anything else, shows where our heart really is. He says, in order for you to have the prayer life that you were designed to have, you need to think about the identity of God. He tells us two things about him. First, he tells us he's a father, which wasn't normal at the time. The reason why he does that is because fathers always do what's best for their kids. He is trying to elevate our view of God's love. One of the biggest challenges that you will face in your prayer life is overcoming the doubt that God really doesn't care. He doesn't really love you. He doesn't really care about what's going on in your life. Jesus elevates that. But not just that. He talks about a father who is in heaven. That's not meant to communicate distance. It's meant to communicate competence. In heaven is the control room of all things. Psalm 115:3, our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. He can't be stopped. No one is more powerful than God. He's trying to elevate our view of the power of God. Why? Because one of the biggest challenges to you having the prayer life that God wants you to have is that you have too small a view of God's power. He elevates our view of God's love and God's power with the beginning of his prayer life. Why? Because your view of God determines your practice of prayer. And your practice of prayer reveals your view of God, which is why I think most of us, when we look at our prayer lives, we'd say it doesn't seem like we really believe a God can make a difference in our lives. Because we're not asking him for help in our home or help with our relationships or help with our love life or help with our finances or help at school, help at work, help on whatever it is. But the Bible here emphasizes you need to elevate your view of God. Perhaps there's some here that need to do that this morning. Your prayer life will never be what it's meant to be. It won't happen if you don't have a high view of God. But listen, Jesus doesn't just want to increase our view of God. He wants to also decrease our view of ourselves and our competencies. When he points us to the identity of God, he also points us to our own identity. He points to the father-child relationship. We have a father who's in heaven, who does whatever he pleases, who can help everyone, all of his children, with things like daily bread. That means as a disciple, as a child, you're at that stage where you need your parent to help you with things like your daily bread. That's a very dependent stage. Jesus is doing this intentionally. He's taking a shot at our pride. Because listen, your pride doesn't pray. A lot of times we think pride's this big, ugly sin that appears, and you always know when it's in the room or when it's in our heart. But the Bible doesn't talk about it that way. It's much more subtle. Pride, one of the greatest indicators of the degree to which pride has a grip on your heart is your prayer life. Because pride doesn't pray. Pride says it would be much more productive if I don't ask the almighty, all-loving, all-knowing God who always does what's best for me. It would be much more productive if I just get to work. That's what pride sounds like. Pride doesn't pray, which is why he says here that we don't just have a father in heaven, that we are his children. The second thing we need to do is embrace that childlike identity. Derwin Gray rightly stated, being born again happens in an instant. Learning to live as a child of God takes a lifetime. In a very real sense, we want our students and our kids to grow up, but in a very biblical sense, we also want them never to grow up. We want them to understand that they need to embrace the childlike identity that Jesus purchases with his own blood. Once we have a right view of God and ourselves, we're in a position to offer up a prayer. So what do? The third thing is we need to specify our requests. You need to specify your requests. If we were to make our way through Jesus' prayer here, we would see that he gives them specific things to ask for, like your kingdom come, your will be done. We know specifically when the kingdom has come and when it isn't, when his will has come and when it hasn't, because the Bible tells us what it looks like, what to pray for. But we don't just pray our Bible, we also pray our problems, we pray our plans. If you have a problem, you can turn that problem into a prayer. When you learn that, you learn how to have an unceasing prayer life. A lot of times we think, you know what, let me push pause on my life. Let me walk over here and let me do kind of a super spiritual prayer thing. And then let me go back over to my life. And we don't really know what to talk with God about. But you know what the Bible tells us? Is he wants to talk about your life, not your pretend life. Because he wants a real relationship with you, not a spiritual relationship with you. What kind of father would you think I would be if my kids came up to me and they said, hey, Dad, I want to talk to you about a challenge I have at school? And I said, no, I just want to talk to you about church, the Bible, giving, serving, and missions. You wouldn't think much of me as a father. And yet so often, that's how we view God. What is that? That's a low view of his love. Some of us have to elevate our view of his love. We need to get specific. What would you like to see God do? By when? One of the things you can do with your resolutions, if you're making some of those, is you can turn those into prayers, daily prayers for your life. We don't just want to have goals. Let's pray those. Let's pray those goals. Let's pray those plans. A lot of times when it comes to our prayer requests, we overcomplicate it. When what we really just need to do is what we do with any kind of problem in our lives. You think about yesterday, we had a situation where at the house where there was a buzzing noise. And I thought, houses incoming just sometimes buzz. But when I went out to grill last night, I heard it a little bit louder. And it was coming from under our back deck. And so I went underneath there and saw a red light, and it was the septic tank alarm. Delicious, I know. That's a problem. So what do you do when you have a problem? You try to find a solution. And we called S&S Septic, who installed that thing back in July when we moved in. And were we expecting to hear a human voice? No, not in these days. It's hard, right? We heard. He answered. The guy answered the phone, which is just a miracle here in 2025, isn't it? Try to get a hold of a human being. It's pretty tough to get a hold of a human being. It's a Saturday night. He answered. Listen, within a couple hours, they were out there. They were working on it. I was out there doing what anybody does that doesn't know what they're doing to help. Yeah. All right, I'll be right back because I'm freezing. And I, you know. Within a couple of hours, they figured out what the problem was. Something with the fuse. They went to Home Depot. They got the new fuse. They replaced it. Did all this kind of stuff. They didn't charge us anything. Miracle number two. And then today, what am I doing? I'm praising them. That's how it works. We had a specific problem. We made a specific request. And now we're given specific praise. Praise God for S&S Septic, all right? They're not paying me for this. But isn't that remarkable? That's exactly the kind of thing God wants to do in your prayer life. One of the reasons, we don't know all the reasons, one of the reasons that problem is in your life or that you're worried may come into your life is to ignite your prayer life. Not just for some people that are super spiritual, you're in the fifth grade, if you're 94, whatever your age, it never changes. He's designed that problem to be a source of your prayer life. That's why when people say, how's your prayer life? You don't have to think you're like, oh man, it's great because I'm super spiritual. It's just great because you're in touch with reality. You got problems you can't handle, so you're asking the one who can. Get specific with your prayer requests. Now listen, does that mean God always answers your prayers like you want them to? Absolutely not. Most of my specific requests, I do not get the answer I want to hear, which is why the last thing we need to do is trust God to do what's best with your request. This is so important because it's easy when you really start to pray your prayers, pray your problems, pray your plans, and you don't get the answers you want, to grow cynical and to think, man, this doesn't work. Why even bother? Because what we tend to do is we'll narrow down our relationship with God to this one thing he won't do for us, and we'll say, because he didn't do this, none of this works. It's a great reason why I'd encourage you to always have a top 10 prayer list, because I've found that when he doesn't answer the thing I really want him to do most, oftentimes he'll answer these other things, and it helps build my faith, my trust in him with the thing he isn't doing that I want. Could be that you're asking for a relationship. You're asking for a boyfriend, a girlfriend. It could be that you're asking for the teacher to put the stuff on the test that you studied and not the things that maybe you didn't have time to do. It could be that you're asking him for a job or to get into a certain school. Or it could be that you're asking for a certain income level. It could be that you're asking for a certain report from a doctor. It could be you're asking for any number of things that I'm aware of that in our church right now are weighing heavily on people. When life doesn't work out the way you thought it would, what do you do in those moments? You've got to fight the cynicism that sees through everything and sees nothing, C.S. Lewis says. You've got to fight to maintain and stir a childlike faith and be able to say in your heart, I only see a few things. He sees all things. And if he's not giving this to me, it's because it's not what's best for me. You got to do that. You got to do that work. I've never met anybody that's followed God and prayed in any kind of meaningful way for any length of time who hasn't had to do that battle in their heart. Because if you don't, you don't just lose your prayer life. You lose all kinds of other things. So much is at stake when it comes to this. So you got to trust God to do what's best with your request. Tim Keller wrote, God will either give us what we ask or give us what we would have asked if we knew everything he knows. So in order for us to have the prayer life that Jesus wants us to have, those four things have really helped me as I looked at the Lord's Prayer to kind of get back on track, to stay centered and focused in my prayer life. And I'm sharing those to you, hopefully to encourage you in that, to exhort you in that, but also because we're going to take part of the time here this morning just to pray. In the midst of everything going on, we want to give you a moment here at the very beginning of 2025 to pray. Vance Pittman points out in his study of the book of Acts, out of the 28 times prayer is mentioned in the book of Acts, which, by the way, is more than any other book in the Bible, 26 of those times show the church praying together. It's no mistake that the power that we see in the New Testament church is tied to the prayer we see in the New Testament church, which means if we want to see God's power more in our lives, we need to see prayer more in our churches. And so what we want to do here in these next few moments is give us an opportunity to pray. Just right where we are, we're going to do this in the midst of all that's going on. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to guide us through a time of prayer, and we're going to have David come. He's going to play the piano. We're going to have a couple pastors who will be available in the front. And in the midst of this, we're going to look back. We're going to look around to our current circumstances. We're going to look forward. But I also want to have these pastors here available, one on each side, so that if there's anybody here that has something going on in their life, and they just want a pastor to pray for them, that they're here. That you don't have to fit into where I'm going. You can just walk up at any time. They would love to pray for you. And then we're going to be done here, and we're going to kick off this year praying together. Listen, one of my prayers is that some of the most amazing things that happen this year happen in response to prayers that are offered up here in the next few moments. Okay, so here's what we can do. You can bow your head. You can close your eyes. You can keep your eyes open. You can write on that sheet of paper that you have there. Do whatever it is that you feel like will help you engage with God most in prayer in these few moments. I found here at the beginning of the new year that it's always helpful to look in a number of different directions in the presence of God in prayer. I'd like for you to start out by looking back in your heart over the past year. To look back and to think about some of the gifts of grace, the joys that God gave you, that we wouldn't be the kind of people that sometimes we're told about in the Bible who failed to remember the goodness of God to them personally. One of the greatest commands that you'll see throughout the Bible is to remember. Remember what he's done for you. Remember how he's taught you. Remember how he's been patient. Just take a few moments in your heart just to look back over the past year in the presence of the Lord, to thank him for those gifts of grace. Maybe it was a new friend. Maybe it was a promotion. Maybe it was just a fun time, one time that God gave you. Let's take a moment and let's look at our current circumstances, your current circumstances right now. Where do you see evidences of God's grace right now that you can thank him for? What are the concerns, challenges that are pressing in on you right now, worries that you might have that you can pray? And then let's look forward. What are those things that you're excited about, concerned about, ahead of you personally, ahead of you, you think about your family and your home, you think about work or school, think about any other categories that might be on your mind. Where can you ask God to give you courage to take a step you haven't taken this year? Where's an area, a pattern, where you've responded to things in a way that you regret you responded in that way, that this year you can ask for help to respond differently? Let me ask everybody to think as a church, to pray for our church this year. We don't just want to pray individually. We want to pray for one another, for what we're doing collectively as we lock arms for the sake of the cause of Christ. Let me encourage you to join me in praying for lost people to get saved, for marriages to be restored, for people to take fresh steps with Jesus that they haven't taken, that we would see breakthrough in the power of the Spirit this year. And finally, if there's anything that you have on your mind that you would like other people to pray for you about, could be a financial issue, could be some small thing that's a big thing to you, could be a relational issue, could be miraculous healing that you would love to have, could be any number of things in your life. One of the things we see the New Testament church doing is praying for one another. And so we just want to take a moment that if you have something like that that is pressing in on you in a way that you would love prayer, would you just stand where you are? Just stand where you are. We're going to take a moment just to pray for you. Whatever's going on in your life, could be a child situation, a grandchild situation, could be a parent situation, could be a friend situation, could be any number of things. But if there's a special season, a special trial, we need prayer all the time, but there's a special trial where you're asking for brothers and sisters in Christ at your church to pray for you. One of the ways that our burdens get lighter is by sharing our burdens through prayer. So we have a number standing here. So let me pray for us. God, we lift up those who are standing right now. We know that we all need prayer every day, but we know that there are these seasons that are more intense, these trials that you put us in because you love us, that remind us that we can't handle what you've called us to. God, I pray for those right now that are standing, whether it's a health issue, a relationship issue, a financial issue, a work issue, a school issue, that it's something in their heart maybe that they've seen a pattern and no one knows about it, and probably people wouldn't even think it's a big deal, but they know it's a big deal to you, a holy God who is calling us to be like Christ. Whatever it may be, Lord, we're praying for them that you would work miraculously and that we would hear of it, that they would see you before Wednesday, that each one of them would have something happen in their life that would make them believe you hear them, you're near to them, and you're working in their problem. We pray for it, Lord. We ask for it. We know that the Spirit is praying for them. We know that Jesus is praying for them because you tell us in the Bible. God, I do pray for the rest of us. I pray that you would help us to be grateful for where you've brought us over the past year, your patience, your kindness, that doesn't throw in the towel when we fail, but offers fresh grace that can wipe us clean. God, I know right now that we're all facing all kinds of challenges. Would you bring relief? Would you help us to see things we wouldn't see without offering up this prayer? Would you encourage us all this week in some way to let us know that you're here with us, that would encourage us to follow you more full-heartedly. God, we pray for saved people, lost people to be saved in our midst. God, we pray for saved people to live more on mission with you. God, protect us from being stuck. Enable us. Give us the courage to continue to take the next step as we hear your ancient words, follow me. God, we pray in the midst of this series that you would do miraculous things, not because of anything we can conjure up or orchestrate, but because you're simply a God who hears and answers prayer. God, I pray you'd give us faith to believe you're working for our good, even in those areas where it seems like you're not. God, I pray that you'd help us in 2025 to be able to look back on this year and that it could be said with confidence from every person, truly, our God was amongst us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the podcast from First Baptist Church in Cumming, Georgia. To learn more about First Baptist Cumming, visit us online at fbccumming.org.